A reading from the first book of Kings. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "O Lord, my God, you have made me, your servant, king to succeed my father David. But I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a people so vast that it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had made this request. So God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, not for a long life for yourself, nor for riches, nor for the life of your enemies, but for understanding so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now, and after you there will come no one to equal you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, I love your commands. I love your commands.
I have said, O Lord, that my part is to keep your words. The law of your mouth is to me more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces.
Lord, I love your commands. I love your commands.
Let your good kindness comfort me according to your promise to your servants. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight.
Lord, I love your commands. I love your commands.
For I love your commands more than gold, however fine. For in all your precepts I go forward. Every false way I hate. Wonderful are your decrees, therefore I observe them. The revelation of your words sheds light, giving understanding to the simple.
Lord, I love your commands. I love your commands.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may worthily
Alleluia,
proclaim and live his holy gospel.
Alleluia,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son,
Alleluia,
and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We find ourselves this morning in one of those wonderful moments that we often easily overlook. It's one of these wonderful moments of grace when things seem to converge and reveal in many ways the splendor and the wonder and the goodness and the love of Almighty God. And we know that we can use all the grace we can get, especially today. And specifically what I'm talking about is the wonderful convergence coming together of last weekend and this coming weekend, this weekend we're in, and this coming week. Specifically last week was the world celebration by the Catholic Church throughout the world of Grandparents' Day, the elderly. Gathering right now in Portugal to begin on Tuesday, August the 1st, initiated by St. Pope John Paul II, World Youth Day. And we have these wonderful two events, Grandparents and the Elderly, World Youth Day, the young and the old, in this intergenerational friendship and love and gift coming together at this particular moment for us. And we need both. We need both moments. We need the community of memory. We need those who are keepers of the flame, those who have the memory of legacy and the importance of what has developed over time. And that is priceless. And it's something that needs to be passed on. The Catholic faith, the love of Christ and of the Church, the family, the memories of families and the heritage of communities. We also need the community of hope in young people. We need both of those. For young people bring creativity and zest and imagination and life. It's not two separate spheres. It's all part of one web of time. And both are important, because if all you have is a community of memory, you become stale and you fall into the staleness of nostalgia, in which there's a kind of romanticization and sentimentalization of the past, in which everything was perfect and wonderful and terrific. Well, we know there's no such thing as a golden age. It may be gilded, but it's not golden. And we can't simply have the future where everything is going to be better. Everything is going to be perfect. It's towards this utopian future that somehow we're going to do on our own. The problem with that, with both of those, to live in the past or to go breakneck speed into the future, is that we ignore the blessing and richness of the present, the working of God here and now. For the present is an outgrowth of the past, and the present lays the foundation and laying of the seeds for the future. But it's one cloth of time, the young and the old. Many of you in here remember the old Whitney Bank commercial, the young and the old standing side by side. Well, that's exactly that solidarity, that webbing, the young and the old. And in thinking about it, I believe that Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish is very blessed, because you are getting ready, and have already started, for your own kind of World Youth Day. It's the beginning of the school year that's coming. And what a blessing it is to have that elementary school. What a blessing it is. And I only wish that every parish in the Archdiocese that had the demographics and the other resources would have at least an elementary school in its parish to go with the church. The elementary school touches the future every day. Every day sitting in the desk, the miracle of the future is being made and formed in the present. Those are the crucial and important foundation years. And the school, Our Lady of Perpetual Help Elementary School, is a tremendous blessing to the parish. But also, we broaden our perspective and our perception. For that school is not merely a blessing within the confines of a geographical religious parish. It's not confined to a group of buildings in the back of the church. It's a blessing to the Belchase community. It enriches and elevates the whole life of a community in all of its dimensions, civic dimensions, its social dimensions. Yes, its political dimensions, its economic dimensions. It enriches, and it's a great, tremendous blessing, and it enriches the church. It enriches the local parish and helps to feed, nourish, and bring freshness to what could likewise turn stale and become familiar and ordinary and blasé. We need that vitality, but we also need that grounding in the wisdom that comes from having lived, and that collective experience that's so important. It's so important for young people today to have a story. Not the story of the secular culture, not the story of the mall and the celluloid people that pass before us, entertainment, sports figures, and all of these other kind of things. The best place to look for heroes and heroines are within one's own family and time, one's own place. And it projects forward into the future. It gets in tune with where the Holy Spirit is leading this particular parish and this community, again, to broaden our perspective to see beyond a specific locale and to see how it filters out, how it enriches going forward. And our reading from the gospel, doesn't it beautifully touch on this great mystery and blessing of this intergenerational friendship and love and gift and treasure? The treasure hidden in the field and the pearl of great price. How long has that treasure been buried? Overlooked, unseen. How long has that pearl been in the marketplace where the learned and the clever, the worldly wise have passed over it, overlooked it, not taken any account of it, and yet it hasn't lost being a treasure and it hasn't lost being of great price? It was waiting. It was waiting in silence for someone to come along and discover it, to come along and see that beneath the dirt and the shrubs and all of this kind of stuff, there was a treasure. The eye caught that pearl that others had passed by, just another piece of costume jewelry, and were not able to discern the costume jewelry from the real thing. And what happens when they find it? They sell everything that they have. In other words, they give up. And in giving up, in God's way of doing things, God is never outdone in generosity, and they have infinitely more than they ever had before. Infinitely more. The world's calculus is, ooh, that's a risk. I can't do that. I'm going to get rid of all of this. My goodness. In God's way of keeping the books, it is in giving that we do receive. It is in addition and multiplication by subtraction very often. In other words, they had to sacrifice what they had in order to be committed to what God will provide. And doesn't that speak to parents and grandparents today? It is a sacrifice to send your children to Catholic school. I know parents who sometimes work 2 and 3 jobs so that their children go to a Catholic school. Grandparents who sacrifice and help that their grandchildren go to Catholic schools and receive that Catholic education, not simply intellectually. You can go to a lot of schools and be smart, but you want to go to a Catholic school in order to fulfill our vocation to become holy and saintly in that part of the world that we touch every day in the Holy Spirit. That moral and spiritual foundation that doesn't automatically pop up. Doesn't, oh, I went to the Catholic school, therefore I'm okay, I'm fine. I went through the car wash. That's absurd. That's a fairy tale. It is nurtured and developed. It's a great act of faith to send and sacrifice children to the Catholic school. But the benefits are enormous. If we have that wise and prudent patience to let it bloom and develop and to nurture it within the family, it enriches so many beyond simply a narrow confine. And so, my hope is that great treasure, that great pearl of price, does not stay buried and does not stay undervalued according to the calculus of the world. But we see it as a great treasure. I had the opportunity last several days ago to have a word with the principal, Ms. Bro. It becomes clear in a few moments what a dedicated, committed, and competent person to be leading the school and the advances that the school has made. The dedicated faculty on the front lines every day in the classroom. And let's be clear, it is a sacrifice for those who often teach in our Catholic schools. You could go elsewhere, make more money, get more benefits. You could get all of that. But you wouldn't be part of building and transmitting and fostering that Catholic culture and identity that meant so much to us. I thank God every day for the Catholic education I had in elementary and high school, with the priests, brothers, nuns, sisters, and the dedicated lay people that I had, so that when I began to be educated and to teach various levels of secular universities and professional schools, and so on and so forth, I was not protected. I was prepared. I had been prepared. And today, we know that we cannot protect children from everything. It's impossible. Everybody walks around with these gadgets strapped to them. You just can't. But you can prepare them to be able to see the pearl of great price and where the treasure is buried. That you can do. And so I know that the dedication of those who administer the school, who teach in the school, under the leadership of Father Kyle and I have spoken about this, is unequivocal dedication, not simply to maintaining, not simply a maintenance job, but expanding and enriching the school, and by its extension, enriching the parish, enriching families, enriching the Belchase community as a whole. The old and the new, in the web of time, God has granted your parish a great gift and a great blessing. My prayer is that each of you will be those good and wise stewards that Jesus commends in the gospel. Good and wise steward who is able to bring forth from the storeroom the old and the new, not in conflict, but in complementarity, not in separation, but in oneness, in fraternal love, all for the kingdom of God, and enriching all who are touched by that great grace of parish and school. May God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.